Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Daniel, chapter 3. We'll read verses 15 through 18 together. And then we'll turn and read yet a little bit later in the chapter some other verses. Daniel 3, verses 15 through 18. Read this passage responsively. Daniel 3, verses 15 through 18. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We're going to read also verses 21 through 25. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll start on verse 21. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. And let's finish on verse 25 together. Ready? He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much that this is a place where you are. Thank you that you've sent the presence of the Holy Spirit here in his power. Lord, the devil is real. Thank you that we have a church that the devil doesn't like. Lord, I thank you for this time in history that we get to be a part of this church. Fill our preacher with your power. May we realize the urgency of the need today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The sermon today is to the saved. I'm sure there are some here, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, and we'll try to help you with that before the morning's over. You know, we lose a lot of young Christians in Christianity. I don't mean they lose their salvation, because you can't lose your salvation, but somehow they'll get to starting down the path for the Lord, and something frustrates them or something gets them off track, and you lose them from the growth that they're supposed to be experiencing. There's this belief in Christianity, and it is a faulty one. There's someone who'll get up and say to you, well, if you get saved, all your problems will go away. Well, somebody better tell that to all sorts of people in the Bible, because getting saved does not mean that all your problems will go away. Now, it does mean that some of the problems you used to cause yourself will go away. And it will keep you from certain kinds of problems indeed. But here's the great thing about it is, when you get saved, all your problems won't go away, but when you're saved and you go through problems, now you're going to go through it with Jesus, you're going to go through it with help. Today, I come to a group of people that I love with my very depths of my soul, and I want to help you today. If you will listen, you will be helped. And if you say, Brother Owens, this sermon today, it doesn't seem to apply to me right now, well, I'll guarantee you, it will apply to you in days or weeks to come, because it's a kind of sermon that we all need in life. The story that you read earlier
as you shared in the story with Brother Bush, the story that took place when a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar was in power. There are three young men in this story, a young man named Shadrach, another named Meshach, and another named Abednego. These boys were in captivity. The king, King Nebuchadnezzar, he had constructed a decree, he had passed a law, if you will, that when the people in the kingdom heard the sound of an orchestra, that sound was to cause them to fall down and worship an image or an idol that he had constructed. And probably that idol was an image of himself. King Nebuchadnezzar had set up a false god of himself and said, when you hear my orchestra play, you're to fall down on your knees and you're to worship me. Now, there are three young men in this story, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three young men, they love the Lord. They love the Lord God Jehovah. They had heard the king's command. Now understand, the Bible teaches clearly, we're not to worship any other gods. We're just to worship the Lord God Jehovah. And these three young men knew it. But wait, they're in captivity to Nebuchadnezzar. They heard the king's command. But the Bible teaches that when it came time for the orchestra to play, that these three young men said, we can't do it. We can't bow down to this false god. So the orchestra played. They did not bow down. And the Bible teaches that they were arrested. And the rule was this. It was said that anybody that does not bow down when the orchestra begins to play, that we're going to fire up the palace furnace, and they're going to be thrown into that furnace to be burnt alive for not bowing down. The Bible teaches that the orchestra played. Everybody bowed. These three young men did not bow. These three young men were immediately incarcerated. The king was told, three young men did not bow. And the king said, all right, get the furnace ready. And we're going to have to throw them into this furnace to be burnt alive. They would not be put to sleep with some sort of a chemical before they threw their body in. They wouldn't knock them out. They were going to throw them into this furnace alive. And the Bible says these three young men responded to the king. This is what they said in Daniel 3:17. They're talking to the king about being burned alive. And it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. The king said, you're going to get thrown in the burning fiery furnace. And they said, well, we happen to serve a God that can deliver us. God could and may deliver us. But wait a minute. That's not all of the response. Then they say in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's the title of my sermon this morning. But if not. But if not. You see, here's what they said. They said, King, we serve a God that is able to deliver us. You're about to throw us into a burning fiery furnace, and our God can deliver us. But let us make something very clear to you, King. Whether God delivers us or not, we're still not bowing down to you. We're not changing our mind. We realize there is that possibility that God may not deliver us. And whether or not God spares us, we are not going to bow down to the image. King, God can deliver us. But if not, we can take whatever you dish out. Hey, King, we are not fair weather Christians. We don't have a bargain with God. God, if you're good to us, we're going to stick with you. But God, if it gets tough or rocky along the way, we're going to cop out and run. No, these guys said, hey, whether we're spared from the fire or not, we're still serving God. Is that the kind of Christian you are? These three young men had evidently prayed about two possibilities that they were facing. Possibility number one, God's deliverance. I think they prayed and they said, oh God, don't require us to face this. Oh God, don't make us have to go through this. That's our most frequent prayer, you and I. That's what us Christians are always praying. Hardship comes at us, heartache comes at us, pain comes at us, a burden comes at us, a catastrophe comes at us, and immediately we run to God and say, God, get me out of this. Deliver me, God. Oh, God, deliver me. Don't make me go through this mess. Don't make me face this. Make it go away. Spare me. Save me. Zap me a miracle. God, get your spoople dust working. I need a miracle. Get me out of this. But may I say, these boys, they believed that that prayer was a valid prayer, deliver me, but there was a second prayer. They must have prayed to God and said, God, if you don't get me out of this, give me the guts to go through it and still be a decent Christian. That's hardly ever our prayer. We like praying, God, give me a miracle. God, get me out of this. But let me tell you something. These three boys, they were not fair-weather Christians. They were not, God, if you take care of me, I'll stick with you. But God, if it gets a little tough, I'm hightailing it. They're not those kind of Christians. These guys said, hey, God will deliver us. But if not, He's still our God. We're not changing. God, if you don't deliver me, give me the courage to go through this as a good Christian. God, give me the grace if there is no deliverance. God, if you do not answer our prayer for no fire, give us the backbone to go through the fire. These boys actually said, God, deliver us. But if you don't, tell me to burn to death like a man. That's what these boys said. They said, deliver us. But if you don't, give us some courage. They're going to throw us in a fire and we're going to burn to death. And it's going to hurt. There's going to be pain. But God, help us not to turn our back on you while we go through that pain. Hey, Daniel, what are you praying the night before the lion's den? Daniel, what are you praying? Daniel said, I'm praying tonight that I don't get eaten by those lions. God, I don't want to be eaten by the lions. They're going to eat me alive. Oh, God, deliver me from the lion's den. But if not, give me the courage to be eaten alive and still be a good Christian. I believe that's what Daniel did the night before the lion's den. Hey, Moses, what is your prayer? Moses, what is your prayer? Moses said, well, we're being chased by Pharaoh's army. We just escaped from Egypt and we're being chased. And I look behind me and I see a dust cloud of all of Pharaoh's armies and chariots. And they're coming to massacre me and over 3 million of my followers. Hey, what's your prayer? Moses says, God, deliver me. God, get me out of this mess. But if not, help me to take it like a man when they come to kill me.
Yeah.
But if not, I'm going to take it. But if not, when Pharaoh's chariots come to hack off my head, I'll stand up like a man. I'll not put my tail between my legs. I'll not curse God. I'll not get angry with God. You're my God. If you spare me, you're my God. And if you don't spare me, you are my God. And that's why you lose a lot of young Christians today. We all think, boy, you get saved and suddenly your life will become a bed of roses. All your problems will go away. So some little hardship comes your way and suddenly you got your tail between your legs and you say, I this isn't what I wanted. Well, let me tell you something. Life's tough. Life's tough. You better stop and realize, hey, it's really not all about what you get out of God by getting saved. You get God. That's what getting saved is all about. Well, I'd get saved and I'd serve God if everything would just go, you know, peachy king and hunky-dory and everything would be just fine. Hey, you better decide you're going to serve God if you live in a terrible mess in life. You better decide that you just believe God, period. Hey, Paul. What's your prayer? Hey, Apostle Paul, what's your prayer? Oh, my prayer is when I go to this next city, that they not beat me, mock me, scorn me, and throw me in jail. Oh, God, deliver me. Every time Paul went into town, every time the Apostle Paul went into town, they were waiting on him. They were all upset at him. They'd grab him and beat him. Hey, before Paul got into town, there was a valet there to grab his suitcase and take it down to the jail and say, we got a room for you. Paul said, my prayer is that God would deliver me. But, Paul said, but if not, help me
to take my beating like a man. Help me to go on and serve God anyhow. Paul said, I hope God delivers me. I hope that I'm not scorned for the cause of Jesus Christ. But dear God, if I end up going into that jail, if I end up being persecuted anyway, if I end up going through the hardship, help me at midnight to get old buddy Silas together and we'll sing at midnight. I want to sing if I've got to go through this. That's what Paul said. And just so you know, that's exactly what happened to Paul. Paul very rarely got spared of the persecution coming his way. And I'm sure Paul prayed and said, God, deliver me. And when God did not, they threw Paul in jail about midnight. All of a sudden, you heard Paul and you heard old Silas singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Someone said, who is that? That's Paul. You talk about the one that they beat. That saved a wretch like me. Paul said, if you don't deliver me, I'm sticking with you, God. I'm not going to use you like a credit card, God. I'm just going to come to you when I need something and toss you aside when there's nothing more available seemingly. God, I love you. Come. Good or bad times. You're my God. You're not on trial with me, God. Moses said, you're not on trial with me. Deliver me. But if not, you're still my God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, God, deliver me. But if not, give me the grace and the guts to go through this thing and not turn my back on God. Hey, John the Beloved, what's your prayer? He said, my prayer is this. My prayer is that God would deliver me after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm going to go tell everybody that they crucified God's Son. I'm going to take a stand and I'm going to tell everybody. And he said, my prayer is that God would deliver me from the persecution that will come my way. And then John said, but if not, God give me the grace and the courage to be a good Christian when they exile me to the Isle of Patmos and they boil me alive in a cauldron of oil, which is exactly what happened to John. You say, well, if you get saved, all of life just becomes so easy. Oh, it does become much easier. It really does. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to decide as mature Christians that we're going to serve God in the good times and the bad times. Hey, Noah, what's your prayer? Noah said, God, deliver me. The flood is coming. The rain is coming. Oh, God, deliver me. I don't want to go through this. But if not, I will go through what you want me to go through, and I don't want to turn my back on you. Hey, David, what is your prayer? David said, I don't want to fight this big goon named Goliath. I do not want to face him. I do not. God, deliver me. Hey, but David said, but if not, if I lose this battle against Goliath, if Goliath takes my sword and cuts off my head and beats me to the birds, help me to do it with some Christian dignity. Help me not to turn my back on God. Help me not to give up on God. Help me not to betray God. Hey, if I'm going through a tough time in my life, God is still God. He is still my God. I still believe God. I still love God. I still trust God. I won't give up on God. He's my God. How's it going, David? Oh, well, there were some times it was going well, and there were some times when it was not going so well. But David had decided, but if not. But if not. Hey, Lazarus. What's your prayer? I don't want to die. Deliver me from death. But if not, help me to die with dignity. Oh, yeah. Let me ask you a question, though. Oh, we can all thrill at the thought of the courage of the saints from the book. Let me ask you, are there any saints like that in this day and age? What's happened to the kind of Christians that don't make bargains with God? What's happened to the kind of Christian that says, God, whatever comes, I'm not turning my back on you. We get this idea that God owes us something. God owes you nothing but hell. Your heaven was even paid for by another. Oh, don't you become arrogant with God and say, God, I don't think things are going the way they ought to in my life. The things will go the way they ought. Things are just going to go the way they go. And God owes you nothing. What happened to the kind of Christians that reverence the Almighty God of the universe and said, God, if it goes good today or if it goes bad today, you're still my God? Am I going to get sour on you, God, because I had a rough day? Hey, where are those kind of Christians today? Where are the but if not Christians? For instance, some of us need to pray, but if not, when disease comes to my body. Has sickness entered your arena? You never thought that you'd be sick. Is it cancer? Is it multiple sclerosis? Is it a crippling arthritis? Is it cerebral palsy? Is it lupus or a heart disease? Is it Lou Gehrig's disease? Is it dementia or Alzheimer's? What is it? What is it? Has your body begun to rot away somehow, deteriorate? I'm for every one of us praying, Brother Bob, God deliver me. I'm going to pray it. I'm going to pray, God deliver me. And I pray for our people when they get sick and I say, dear God, take it away. And I beg God, take it away. Take it away. Take it away. Heal. Do something great. But if not, God, give me the courage to go through it and still be a good Christian. You said, oh, as I'm sick, I beg God to take it away. Okay, I want you to, but you better stop and realize something. You're going to be worthless to God if He, hey, look, if He does not take it away, that is His prerogative. You better stop and realize He is God. And you say, God, deliver me. But if not, God, give me the courage to serve on. God, help me to serve on with a good attitude. God, help me not to get bitter. God, help me not to become hateful. I may have a sick body, but I don't want a sick attitude. I'm sorry to preach such reality to you today. I cannot come to you and tell you that everything in your life is going to work out perfect, but I'm your friend, and friends tell you the truth. When things get tough, there may come a day when you've got to say, God, deliver me, but if you don't, you're still my God. I have to tell you a quick story. I was preaching in British Columbia at the beginning of the week. My dear friend, Evangelist Alan Domley, was with me. He said that they picked him up, and I couldn't tell the story exactly like he could, so I don't know that the details are exactly right, but I think you'll understand the story. Brother Domley was, he said that they picked me up, and I was sitting there in the front seat. We're getting ready to go to the meeting. The pastor said he got a call about a man that wanted a ride, wanted to go to the preaching meeting. So Brother Dominic said they went out to pick this fella up. Said the guy came over to the window of the car. The pastor was driving. Evangelist Dominic was sitting in the passenger side of the car. The guy knocked on the window and said, hey, could I sit in the front seat? Pastor said, why? He said, I need to plug my leg in. Brother Dominic said, you need to do what? I need to plug my leg in. Brother Dominic said, I couldn't figure this guy out. He said, so I just climbed in the back seat. This guy come around. Said this old boy got in the front seat, rolled up his pant leg, pulled out a cord, and plugged his leg into the cigarette lighter. Said, got to plug my leg in to get church tonight. But Tommy said, I had no idea I was with the Bionic Baptist. Guy charged his leg all the way to church. Unplugged her, went into church for a little while. I wish I could charge some of your brains before you come to church. I could maybe charge your eyelids so you could stay awake. And let me tell you something. If you can't stay awake in a church like this on a Sunday morning like this, there's something wrong. Yeah, there's something going wrong there. Hey, but listen. That old boy, he was in church, had a good spirit, had a good attitude. I'm sure the day came when they were getting ready to take off his leg. He said, oh, dear God, spare me. Oh, dear God, deliver my leg. But if not, I'll go to church and charge my leg in the cigarette lighter on the way in. But if not, that'll keep you in church from now to the day that the Lord Jesus Christ comes. But if not, I want you to have deliverance. I want the disease to go away. But we need some Christians with some backbone. We need some Christians that say, Brother Owens, I want God to take away the pain, but if He does not, He's still my God. I'll be in church. I'm not stopping. I'll keep on going. But if not, hey, secondly, pray, but if not, if the devil gets into your marriage. What happens? What happens if the devil begins to tamper with your marriage? What happens if Satan has entered in where there was once love and peace and now there seems to be hate and war? Has adultery into your marriage. There are people, hey, listen. When something goes awry in your marriage, that's not the time to run from God. That's the time to run to God. Brother Owens, I'm hurt. I'm devastated. There are people that say, well, I'll serve God as long as my marriage is going fine. You better say, but it's not. But it's not. Is it the in-laws, alias the outlaws? One of the biggest causes of problems in marriages is the in-laws get involved. They don't do their part. Stick their nose in where they don't belong. Struggle with the in-laws. You say, I'll tell you what, my in-laws have their nose in my marriage and they're messing things up. Hey, you better serve God if things are going well. And if not, you better say, but if not, I'm going to keep on serving God. Is it the finances? I'll tell you what, finances bring stress to a marriage. Mishandling the finances. Oh, there's so many things about the finances. But you better be careful to decide. I'm going to serve God. Hey, if the devil's, he's messing with my marriage, he's messing up my marriage, and it seems to be a bit more miserable than what it ought to be, you better decide you're going to stick with God no matter what. No matter what. Say, God, deliver my marriage. But I'll warn you right now. God, deliver my marriage. But if not, I will stay in church. God, I want to stay married. I want to be married to him. I want to be married to her. But if not, I will not turn my back on God. It is not God that forsook you. Is it a lack of forgiveness in your marriage? What is it? Coldness, unkindness. Say, God, deliver me. But if not, give me the courage and the strength to go on. Help me to stay in church. Help me to keep on serving God. Help me to face the embarrassment. Sound real? God, I'm embarrassed. My marriage and people know that it's struggling. And God, deliver me. But God, if you don't deliver me, I'm come to church anyway. I'm serving you anyway. I'm going to keep on going, God. You're my God. You're not on trial with me, God. Hey, but if not, my friend. But if not. Hey, pray, but if not. When the finances are at their worst. Do you have a mess financially that seems unsolvable? Is it self-inflicted because of bad decisions? Credit crazy? Borrow to the max? Is that the problem? Is it life inflicted? Did a medical catastrophe come your way? Or something that you really had nothing to do with? And now you're in a financial fix and you're under a heavy burden and a heavy strain? You go to God and you say, oh God, deliver me. Oh God, solve this problem. Open the windows of heaven. Let the blessing of God rain upon me. I want you to pray that. I'm glad for you to pray that. I'll pray that with you. I'll pray that God deliver you, and I'll pray that God send the money, and I'll pray that it comes miraculously. But let me tell you something. If it doesn't come miraculously, you say, but if not, I'm going to keep on serving you. I'll figure out a way to pay my bills. I'll figure out a way out of this mess. I'm not going to steal from you. I'm not going to rob you, God. I'm not taking it out on you. God, I'm with you. I'm in, come hell or high water. You've got me. I'm not backing off, God. You go to God and ask God for all the deliverance you want, and I hope you get a ton of it. But if you don't get all you need, God ought to know that He can count on you. It ought to be that you say, God, you got my back on this thing? Feels good when somebody's got your back, you know it. God, you got my back on this thing? Well, let me ask you a question. You got God's back? Are you there to back Him up? If things don't turn out the way you think they ought to turn out, are you going to sour and run from God and run from church and quit on God and say, well, God, if that's the way you're going to be, I'm not serving you. That's sad Christianity. I'm sorry, I can't preach health and wealth and give all your money to the church and all your problems will go away. That's not what the Bible says. Now you ought to tithe and you ought to give your money to the church, but your doing so doesn't mean you won't have a flat tire. Tires go flat because that's the way life is. What we need is the courage to say, God, deliver me, but if not, I'll keep on serving you. When the finances are at the worst, say, Lord, okay. I'll lose what I will. God, I'm in a fix. I'm in a mess financially. I'll lose what I will. But God, I'm telling you, I'm not backing off. I'm going to keep a good attitude, God. God, I'm going to keep a sweet spirit. God, I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to keep on working hard. I'm going to have hope. I'm not going to quit all my duties down at the church. I may have a poor bank account, but I don't want to have a poor attitude for Jesus. God, deliver me. But it's not. I was recently in my office. One of our members came in. I watched them put their hand up to their jaw. I said, is there something wrong? They said, yeah, I've got a bad tooth and it gives me headaches and it keeps me awake. I said, you ought to get it fixed. They said, I can't. I don't have the money. I sat there at my desk and I said, Lord, I wish I had. If I had it, I'd fix their tooth. I'd fix it. And I hurt for people when they do without. But let me tell you, folks, we're all going to go through times when we're going to hurt. We're all going to go through it. But please, let me beg of you this morning, when you're going through it, don't turn your back on God. You just say, God, deliver me. God, deliver me. And by the way, they're here again this morning, that person. Why? They said, God, if you fix it, fine. And if you don't, I'm showing up Sunday morning. You're still my God. You didn't promise me a dental plan when I got saved. You promised me eternity in heaven where I won't have to have a dentist anymore. But you listen to me. You listen to me. Somehow, we serve in a generation of jelly backbone Christians. Christians that say, make it all go my way. Take all the pain away. Take the burden away. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I come to you on behalf of the God of the universe and I say to you, He may not take it all away. That's His prerogative. And I'm here as His representative to say what He really wants to see in you is, God, deliver me. But if you don't, I'm sticking with you. I'll be in church. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. See, but if not, but if not, but if not, God, but if not, pray, but if not. When you watch your children destroy their own lives, say, but as long as I have a grown child, rear them better, they messed up their life. This is what you do. You go to God and you say, God, deliver. But it's not. You're my God. I'm in lock, stock, and barrel. Come hell or high water. I'm in, God. That's what you got to do. You got to keep on going. I serve a great big old God and He knows more than me. And I don't always get what I want. And God can't always provide everything the way I want it provided. But He's still my God. He's still my God. And I'm not going to let the devil rob me of my joy and rob me of the future of serving a God. Hey, there's some of you, it's just like this. You think that you're on welfare with God. Isn't it? Let God carry you. There are some times when God says, suck it up, baby, and carry yourself. You say, I don't like that. See how you do in life. Have people, Christianity's for the soft. Maybe in some places, not around here. My daddy taught me a long time ago, you pray like it all depends on God. And you work like it all depends on you. About halfway in between, you're going to see God do some great things. I'll pray for you folks. I'm praying that people in this room are delivered from illness and financial struggles and heartaches and pain. And I mean it. I go to God over your back. I go to God over your cancer. I go to God over your messed up marriage. I spend time on my face and I beg God to help my people. I beg God to help my people. Let me tell you something, folks. If God doesn't come through for us, let's band together like a mighty army and say, God, You're our God. And God, I want deliverance, but it's not. You're still my God. I wonder how many people here already got your tail between your legs because things are getting a little rough. Oh, my. But it's not. But it's not. I may be hurting, but I want to make sure I just keep going though I hurt. We need to pray, but if not, when death interrupts life. There's some of you loved ones who have passed on. You were there at the moment of death and you said, "Oh God, please take this away. I do not want to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't want my husband to die. I don't want my wife to die. I don't want my son to die. I don't want my daughter to die. God, take the pain away." There are times when our God allows life to continue when it's on the edge of destruction, but there are other times somebody we love passes on. You better be careful that that doesn't suck all the air out of you for the rest of your life, because there are some people that when they lose a loved one, they might as well have died with them. And if you're still alive, God expected you to live on. Oh, you'll grieve and you'll hurt, and I hurt with you. And I want God to take the pain away, but you listen to me. If you love somebody and you lose them, you'll hurt for them for the rest of your life. But you better say, "God, deliver me. God, deliver us from this death. But if not, you're still my God. I'll keep going for you." When life interrupts, when life is interrupted by death, hey, pray, "But if not," when your dreams seem to be crushed. And somehow, your future, your dreams are out of your control. We all have a certain number of dreams and desires and things that we'd like to see happen with our lives. But tragedy can strike, and somehow those dreams can go up in flames. Somehow those dreams can be crushed. You had dreams for your marriage, and somehow that dream seems to be melting away. You had dreams for your son. You had dreams for your daughter. You had dreams for your business. You had dreams for your future. You had dreams. Somehow you say, "Brother Owens, the dream, it seems as if it has nightmare tendencies. It seems like my dream is crushed. Something is threatening the fulfillment of your dreams." Then you do this. You run to God and say, "God, deliver me. I'm in a tailspin. Pull me out of this. Help me, God. Help me." But you better come to your senses just long enough to say, "But if not, but if not, God, I'm going to hang in there, God. Do a miracle. But if not, give me the courage and the grace to see my dreams fade away. And then I'll just be there, God, when you give me a new dream." But if not, are you saved today? Hey, there's one thing where there is no "but if not." If you go to God today and you say, "Lord, save me," you don't have to say, "But if not." If you come to Jesus today and say, "If I die today, Lord, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I need to be born again." You can go to Him and say, "Lord, save me." You don't need the words "but if not" there, because He will save you. He will come into your heart and save you, and He will make your life a better life. But even when the tough times come, you'll have a "but if not" kind of an attitude. If you're not saved, you ought to trust Christ as Savior. There's no "but if not" when it comes to salvation. If you turn to Him and you ask Him to save you, it's a done deal. Matter of fact, it's not even banking on you. It's banking on His Word, not yours. You must just turn with your faith and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. And I know I deserve to go to hell, but Jesus died for me, was buried for me, and resurrected for me. And Lord, come into my heart and be my Savior," and He'll save you. You don't have to worry about it, but if not, He will save you. He's good to His Word. Are you saved today? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? You ought to get saved if you're not saved. You ought to trust Christ as your Savior. Are you a Christian today? You're already saved. Let me warn you, you have a God who is a great deliverer. But He does not always deliver. So you better put a conjunction, the word "but," in your prayer. And you say, "God, deliver me. But if not, you're still my God. I'm still your child. I'm not backing off. I'm not shutting up." Hey, and if that was the devil's plan, if the devil thought that he could attack you, if the devil thought he could try to rip your heart out and get you to stop, you may not have all the courage you need to go on. But with God's help, you can go on and do something great for God. "God, deliver me. But if not, I'm moving on. I'm not giving up."